This is the 445th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC, and we're going to try to preview the upcoming game between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, and we have a special, very special guest, John DeShazier, to help us out. He's the senior writer for the NewOrleansSaints.com website, and he's going to come and help us get ready for the game on Sunday. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, the Falcons are 7-9, and the Saints are 8-8. They are hot. They've won three of their last four. Derek Carr's gotten healthy and is playing lights-out football right now. He's completing 73% of his passes. But these are two teams that could, you know, both make it to the playoffs. The Saints scenarios, we don't have to go over those. They got a couple different paths. That involves beating the Falcons, of course, and then they need Tampa Bay to lose to win the division. But they also have a shot at the wild card, and that's going to involve them beating the Falcons and then Seattle and Green Bay losing. So there are a couple paths for the Saints at 8-8. The only path for the Falcons at 7-9 is to win the division with an 8-9 record. They have to beat the Saints, and Tampa Bay will have to lose to the Panthers. And that will give the Falcons the playoff berth because of their 4-2 conference division record. 4-2 division record. They go to the playoffs hosting a game at 8-9. So with that, let's move on to some of the issues coming out of the Chicago loss, 37-17 to the Bears. Here's what Arthur Smith had to say on some of those issues he saw in that loss to the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's obviously things that come up every Sunday, and especially when you get a result like you did yesterday, and you come out and you got three drives, and you only come, you know, move the ball for almost 200 yards, you only get 7 points. And, you know, they hit a couple plays and put ourselves in a hole, and, you know, they stayed in rhythm, they hit plays, they stayed in their play action and keeper game, and we never were able to close the gap, and credit to Chicago. But things that we, you know, will certainly get cleaned up, and we, you know, get them cleaned up in a hurry because this is a huge game for us Sunday down in New Orleans.
Taylor Heinicke suffered aggravated his left ankle injury in the loss and didn't finish the game. That's the second time he hasn't been able to finish this year. He started in Arizona and got knocked out of that game. And also got knocked out of this one against the Bears. And Desmond Ridder came on and finished it up. But here is Coach Arthur Smith on Taylor Heinicke's status for Sunday's game against the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously he's going to do everything he can to play. We'll have to monitor that. You know, it was obviously sore last week. That's why he was limited. And then clearly felt good to play. You know, like a lot of guys, week 18, nobody feels great. And so we'll just have to monitor it. But I know Taylor, he's going to put everything he can into trying to go.
All right, that's what Coach had to say. He's going to know by Friday. He's going to have to make a decision by Friday if he's going back to Ritter, who started down in New Orleans last year. So he could be back out there, depending on Heinicke's ankle and how fast it heals. If it's a high ankle sprain, that would be a really gutsy performance. But if it's a regular role, he's got a shot to make it back and play in New Orleans. Now, here is Coach Arthur Smith on if he's okay with the run defense heading into this last week.
Yeah, we've been pretty good most of the year. I mean, you know, yesterday, like I said, and credit to them. You know, they got out to that lead, and they had a nice mix, and that was part of the reason we wanted to get some early momentum. And once they got up, they held the ball for a while, and almost in a whole quarter. And they did. They popped those runs late. Obviously, they had the play extensions with Fields, and you know, that hurt us on a few passing downs. And credit to them. They end up, you know, we got behind, and you got to go 4th and 17, backed up, you know, just because, you know, there's possessions are limited at that point, and we needed two scores, and they made the play, and we didn't.
All right. Well, we wanted to know about the run defense because the Bears pretty much had their way with the Falcons, and, you know, and the Saints are going to try to copy it. So, you know, the run defense, he felt it was been doing pretty good, and they just got a couple runs late. But, you know, Khalil Herbert went for 124, 18 carries for 124. They gave up 159 total, and they just hadn't been giving up that kind of yardage totals throughout the season. So, and we know the Saints have been trying to stick with the run. We'll go over that in our news and notes segment. But that's why the run defense is spotlighted here. Now, here is Coach Arthur Smith on if he feels like it was a missed opportunity with the Saints beating the Bucs last week. The Falcons could have helped their playoff chances out. And here's what he said about that.
I think when, you know, you lose games, you know, like I said, I mean, we've lost some close games. I know most games are close in this league. And certainly you've had chances. I think everybody gets frustrated, you know, right after. I mean, you put a lot into it, but does it break anybody's spirit here? No. I mean, that's what we've proven over and over again, that you know, we've done this to ourselves. It's nobody's fault but your own, and you got to start with me as it should. But that's what gives you a lot of confidence, all right? Nobody liked what happened yesterday. We got life. However crazy it played out, that is what the situation is. And obviously, it's any time we play New Orleans, it's a big deal. And certainly, this game's got a lot on the line, and I know there's some of it's out of our control. But again, that's our own doing, right? To not control your own. But we got to get ready to go and put everything we got and go beat New Orleans.
Yeah, the Falcons, you know, they just couldn't get on a roll this season. They needed to rip off two or three wins. They never got to three, you know, three or four. You know, that's all the Saints are doing here. They're getting hot just to get to 8-8. And could be going into the playoffs playing some good football. It just hasn't been able to work for the Falcons this year. And it's, you know, they go beat the Colts, which is a playoff team, first place in the AFC South, and then go up to Chicago and lay an egg. Now, the Falcons are 2-6 on the road this year. Didn't travel well. But here is cornerback A.J. Terrell discussing some of the team matters here, heading into the showdown with the Saints.
You know, it might be a few different sprinkles, you know, here and there. It's not too much different, you know, at the end of the season. The team's going, it's all about execution and things like that. So just trying to get in and get off the field and give our offense the ball and go down there and put points on the board.
Hey, run defense held. They were able to get a couple out late. Are y'all okay with the run defense? And it just, you know, it was just a game where they just got a couple big runs late.
You just saying recently?
Yeah, to yesterday.
Yeah, just being gap sound and things like that. Things that we can control. You know, just watching the film and making sure we correct the things that's shown on tape. Not let it happen again. So that's just something that we can control going into this week.
And what do you know about Derek Carr? Haven't faced him, you know. He was a new guy. Now you've seen him
up close and personal.
Yeah, you know, you're a competitor. I feel like, you know, us as a defense, you know, things that we could throw at them and try to get them off track. You know, where we can make plays on the ball and try to get them off, a little bit off schedule so we can make plays and get off the field on third down and, you know, like I said, give our offense an opportunity to go score and put points on the board.
What would it mean to make the playoffs for the first time since you've been here?
Yeah, it mean a lot. First time for me, so it's something that we definitely been striving for. Had, you know, these goals at the beginning of the season. We got a lot of people on the new faces on the roster and things like that. And it's about that time to, you know, break through and make this push and, you know, do the things that we plan to do early this season.
All right. We also wanted to address the run defense with linebacker Caden Ellis. Here is our interview with linebacker Caden Ellis about the defense.
Just the last half of the season, just the sloppy games in the red and the rain in New York. Charlotte was messy, and then the snow yesterday. But, you know, football players usually like the weather like that. But any silence that you're playing at home and inside on Sunday?
not home, but it's all right.
Sorry about that.
No worries. It'll be nice to, you know, have a roof over our head. But to your point, you know, I was pretty excited when I saw it was snowing out yesterday. So pros and cons to both.
Mm-hmm. And the running game, they just got a couple out late yesterday. Are y'all okay with getting back in and, you know, make sure that gap sound in the run defense?
Got to make sure we are because, you know, they got some really talented running backs over in New Orleans and got to get ready for them. So we'll make sure it's sound.
Mm-hmm. And what would it mean if everything breaks right and the Atlanta Falcons go to the playoffs?
I mean everything and it'd be time to go on a run.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We've heard from Coach Arthur Smith, AJ Terrell, and Caden Ellis. Upcoming after the break, we'll have our special guest join us and discuss the New Orleans Saints. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and I want to share an offer with you before we move forward. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. Again, that's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right. Before we move on, I'd like to introduce our special guest, John DeShazier of the New Orleans Saints. He's a senior writer, longtime journalist in New Orleans, and he's going to come on the show and give us everything we need to know about the New Orleans Saints. How you doing, John?
I'm great, D-Led. How you doing, brother?
Hey, let's get right to it. I know you got a Pelicans game to get to. Hey, tell us about the player Derek Carr here down the stretch and how he has the Saints on the verge of the playoffs.
You know, this is the Derek Carr that the Saints thought they were getting from the beginning. I mean, the last four games, he's completing 73% of his passes. 10 touchdowns, one interception, 1,010 yards. I mean, not great yards, but he's taking care of the football. He's only been sacked five times. He hadn't fumbled the ball any during those four games. And, I mean, this is the guy that the Saints thought they were going to have at the beginning of the season. Now, some of it's been he was beat to hell earlier in this season. I mean, he had a couple of concussions. He had some bruised ribs, some fractured ribs, actually. He had an AC joint sprain in his throwing shoulder. So he's been a little bit beat up this season. And now he's been back to full health for maybe the last 5 weeks or so. And it's showing on the field finally.
And I see in the Tampa game, he went to Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave. Are they the two primary targets in the passing game for him?
Yeah, really is probably more Chris and Rashid Shaheed, although Juwan has come on lately because Juwan had the game of his career on Sunday against Tampa Bay. He caught a touchdown. He had like 90 receiving yards, and he caught one, a beautiful 32-yarder on like third and six from the Saints' four-yard line, and Carr laid it out there for him. He caught the back half of the football, stretched out, a beautiful play by Juwan Johnson. But, I mean, Chris Olave really is that dude for this team, especially with no Michael Thomas. And Rashid Shaheed's still kind of learning the nuances of playing receiver. He's the speed guy. He's got seven catches of 40 or more yards this season. So he's the guy who's going to stretch the field. He's the guy who's going to be the home run hitter if they have one. But Chris Olave is kind of that dude. He's got 80-plus catches, 1,000 yards, a career high. And he's been the steady hand at receiver. He's the guy who everybody concentrates on. And yet he's still kind of able to work his way into those soft spots, whether it's zone or get by guys man-to-man.
And how's Kamara doing? He's from Norcross High, and one of his old high school teammates, Lorenzo Carter, is on the Falcons. How has his season been?
Well, he's got another 1,000 yards. I mean, an amazing stat. Alvin's first 100 games, he had 9,999 yards, which is crazy. So guys basically averaging 100 yards a game. Now, he got dinged up in that Tampa Bay game. He had an ankle injury early in that game. He didn't make it to halftime. So we'll see how he is against the Falcons. And we know the Falcons play him extremely well. Them, Tampa Bay, generally have played Alvin Kamara better than anybody in the league. You see a guy as much as they do, and you kind of understand the things that he likes to do and where the Saints like to use him. But the Saints are going to need him if they want to win this game because, I mean, I think they're going to have to score some points. I know the Falcons have struggled some in scoring, but, I mean, I think the Falcons have kind of pulled, especially when they played him in Atlanta, they basically bloodied the Saints' nose with that run game, and the Saints have to be able to do something about it. And the Saints want to be the team that bloodies the nose. They did that against Tampa Bay. If they're going to do it against the Falcons, they're going to have Alvin.
And mention the defense. What's going on over there? Looks like Cam Jordan's, nearing the end. At least he doesn't have the numbers that he usually has. But what's going on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, well, the big thing with Cam is he's had an ankle injury. He's got a torn ligament in his ankle. He's been playing with it, basically for the last, 6-7 weeks. So he's playing first and second down, basically as a rundown guy. They sub in Zach Bond, the linebacker, put him at left defensive end, and Zach Bond's giving him some production there. The defense last week against Tampa Bay played probably as well as it has this season. The forced four turnovers really got after the Buccaneers. They knew what the Bucs wanted to do from snap one, and they acted like they knew exactly what Tampa Bay wanted to do. I don't know if they can do that against the Falcons again, but they certainly did it against Tampa Bay. DeMario Davis is like, Wolverine. He doesn't seem to be aging very much. The secondary's changed because you don't have Marshawn Lattimore now, but you do have Isaac Yiadom, who's played pretty well. Alante Taylor's played well in the slot corner. You've got Paulson Adebo, leads the team at four interceptions at the other cornerback slot. And the safeties are Tyrann Mathieu. And then Jonathan Abram came and gave him some play at safety last week, too. He had a forced fumble and he had an interception. So they've gotten some guys kind of going a little bit defensively. Tano Passanio gives them a little bit something on the pass rush, as well as the rookie Brian Brzee at defensive tackle. So they figured out some things, but I think, obviously they don't have the production that they would like to have from Cam Jordan. They haven't had the pass rush production from the middle of the defense in terms of getting it from Colin Saunders and from Nathan Shepard, but they have gotten it from other areas. So hopefully they'll be able to generate some more this Sunday.
And what type of team is this? If they can get to the playoffs, can they do some damage in there?
I think they're on a hot streak. If they can get in, I think they've got their confidence together, and especially if they can get in and get that first game at home. I think that would be critical for them to win
and for somehow Carolina to come up with a win against Tampa Bay to give them the division title. I think if they can play that first home game and ride the momentum that they've built, I think they might be a tough out when it gets to the second round. But, you know, even going on the road, if they somehow get a wild card, would be an accomplishment for this team, because this team did not look like it had playoff timber whatsoever maybe 3-4 weeks ago. They looked like a team that was just playing for a draft pick. They didn't look like a team that was going to be a threat to do anything. And they kind of clicked in and synced in and figured out exactly what they want to do on offense. The defense started playing a little bit better because the defense had been giving up gushes of yards and yards and yards. And it really kind of culminated against the Rams on Thursday night, where they couldn't stop anything the Rams wanted to do. Pass game, run games, they had no clue what to do with the Rams. But they've kind of figured it out since then.
And last two, Pete Warner. How's Pete Warner playing on defense? I saw he led with 9 tackles last week against the Bucks.
He's been a real good compliment to Demario Davis. I mean, because somebody's going to have to take over that spot once Demario Davis retires. It doesn't seem like Demario's going to retire anytime soon. He still seems to have a little bit of juice. But Pete Warner is the guy who, you know, is flying side to side. He's making a lot of tackles. He isn't creating enough, as many turnovers as you'd like to see. But he is the guy who's getting around the ball. If Demario's not around the ball, Pete Warner generally is that guy who's around the ball. So he's giving them exactly what they had hoped to get from him at that linebacker spot. He's going to be really good for this team in the future. Who they're going to pair with him after Demario Davis leaves, we don't know. But we know that there's one linebacker spot locked down, and that's going to be Pete Warner.
Yeah, and then we're going to close here with my last question. He's one of my favorite Saints. He always seems to do some damage to the Falcons. Tell us what type of season Taysom Hill is having.
Man, Taysom, well, he's kind of had an up-and-down season. He's been a little bit dinged up. They use him some in the run game, and he's thrown a couple of passes, and he's caught a couple of passes. So he's been a multi-threat. But really, he's the guy who the percentages say if he carries it about 10 times or so, the Saints' percentages of success dramatically jump. So he's a guy who kind of needs the ball in his hands, and yet you've got enough guys on offense to where it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what to do with it. When they run that quarterback power, and it's basically 11 on 11 on offense, and you have to account for the quarterback, that's when the Saints have been the best with him on the field. He's turned out to be a much improved receiver, but him in the shotgun, taking that quarterback power and running it left or right, has been really his best thing going for him the last couple of seasons. Because he's a guy, if he breaks the line of scrimmage and he gets to the second level, he's a big dude. People don't want to hit him. He's hard to get on the ground, and he distributes some punishment. And I know guys in the secondary aren't real fond of tackling him, so it'll be interesting to see how the Saints utilize him on Sunday.
Well, John, I want to thank you so much for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, taking on short notice, and we're a busy schedule. Just want to thank you and take care, and we'll see you on Sunday in the press box when the Falcons take on the New Orleans Saints. Thanks so much.
Thank you, D-Lane. Look, don't forget, wear your hat, bring a jacket or something, because the Superdome press box is always cold. I can tell you that.
All right. We want to thank John for coming on by and enlightening us about the Saints and Derek Carr and how they're playing. Should be a good contest. And thanks for that tip. I'll be sure to take a pullover to the press box because it's going to be cold. He told me that already. So we'll be ready for that on Sunday. All right, now let's move on to the news and notes here. John covered a lot of the Saints, so I can skip some of these here, but, you know, the tail of the tape, he mentioned the Falcons running the ball on them to close out that game. They also had a 92-yard interception return for a touchdown, so, you know, the turnover battle will be big again, but the Falcons averaged 130.1 rushing. That's 8th in the league, and then the Saints or 21st in run defense at 122.5. So if the Falcons get a lead, they'll be able to run the ball on the Saints and then try to get up out of there. Now, Derek Carr didn't have a great game up here last time, but he's hot now and healthy. So we'll see if that translates to the Saints offense being able to move on the Falcons defense. But the Saints are 16th overall in yards. They're tied for 14th in points, 22.1. They're also in the top half of the league in passing with 234 yards a game. They're 12th. They are 21st in running, 99.3, but they stay with the run in that win over the Bucks last week. They ran it 35 times for 108 yards. Jamal Williams, he only had two carries in the last meeting. He had 19 for 58, and then Kamara had 10 for 45. Those are some great nuggets from John on Kamara, you know, his stats and so forth over his career. Now, Olave, stat-wise, he's 84 catches for 1,067 yards and four touchdowns. Pete Warner, we discussed he led the team in tackles against the Bucks there with 9. And in that game, Carr was 24-32 for 197, two touchdowns, a zero interceptions, and 111.1 passer rating. And tight end Juwan Johnson had that was his career game, according to John. He caught 8 of 12 balls for 90 and one touchdown. And we know the Falcons struggled on tight ends at times this year. In the last game, he had 4 for 45 against the Falcons. So that's a factor. Now, just looking back, the Falcons won that game 24-15. Week 12 of the season. You know, at the time we were thinking, hey, this Jesse Bates play may have turned the season around. But, you know, they would go on to lose at Carolina, barely beat the Jets after that, bench Desmond Ridder again, beat the Colts, which they, best team, that was their second win over a team with a winning record, and then go up to Chicago and fall on their face. So you see the inconsistencies, the up and downs, and, you know, so much so that, you know, the coach's future is being openly discussed. So, but in week 12, it was 24-15. Falcons won on November 26th. Ever since that day, this team has been going in one direction and the Saints have been going in another. And we're going to see that on Sunday. If the Falcons can pull out the win somehow with all the turmoil swirling around the team, you know, the owner not wanting to talk about things, and the coach, openly discussing, his job security. So, and then the Saints have gotten hot here on the stretch, down the stretch, 8-8. And, but I mean, they need the Bucks. The Bucks are probably not going to lose to the Panthers. So that'll be the end of the Falcons and not the Saints, because the Saints then have to look at Green Bay and Seattle. Here, let me see. I had those playoff scenarios up. Let's just go over that. Falcons is that. That's the only way for them. Now, for New Orleans, they need a New Orleans win plus a Tampa Bay loss or tie, or a New Orleans tie and a Tampa Bay loss. Okay, and to go in via the wild card stuff, Tampa Bay beats the Panthers. Let's just give them that one. And then now the Saints would need a win plus a Seattle loss and a loss or tie and a Green Bay loss or tie. Or they'll need a New Orleans tie and a Seattle loss and Green Bay loss. So, that was was looking at the schedule there too. The Saints, the New Orleans, the Bucks, they need that one. And here's the bottom one, the other trifecta for them that they'll need. They got to win, and then they'll need the Seattle plays at the Cardinals, and Green Bay plays the Bears. So, and those two teams are still alive. Well, the Bears and Packers are not eliminated. The Cardinals are eliminated. They'll have the bus running. So Seattle will probably win that one. The Green Bay, Chicago is a toss-up just because of how good Justin Fields is playing now. So that's the Saints situation. Both of these teams look like they could be at home here. Tampa Bay wins, they're going. And then I don't think the Saints are going to get that Seattle loss and Green Bay loss. Seattle's going to win, and Green Bay Green Bay should beat the Bears too. So they You know, this could be two, 8 and 9 teams or 7 and 10, 9 and 8, 10 teams at home kicking themselves, looking at, you know, games they should have won or should have lost. You know, Falcons have a lot of those games to look back on. And then we'll just see how we'll slide into the offseason here after this game on Sunday at the Caesar Superdome between the Atlanta Falcons, 7 and 9. Versus the New Orleans Saints, who are 8 and 8 in the NFC South with one game to play. So with that, we're going to hope you all had a happy new year and brought it in right. And then we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.
Hip hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song. A celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.